Mark Ruffalo is entitled to oppose the proposed Paramount Warner Brothers merger. He is entitled to dislike Larry Ellison, David Ellison, Oracle, Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, or any corporate or political policy he chooses. What he is not entitled to is immunity from criticism when his arguments against a massive American media transaction somehow metastasize into yet another attack on the Jewish state and Jewish businessmen. That is precisely what has happened. Ruffalo has attacked the proposed $111 billion Paramount Warner Brothers transaction while dragging into the debate Oracle's relationship with Israel and accusing Israel of genocide and apartheid. Paramount responded by accusing him of invoking anti-Semitic tropes in the service of a business dispute. Ruffalo then called that accusation appalling and fundamentally dishonest. But there is one witness Ruffalo will have difficulty dismissing. Mark Ruffalo. The most devastating rebuttal to Mark Ruffalo in 2026 comes from Mark Ruffalo himself in 2021. 5 years ago, during the Israel-Hamas fighting of May 2021, Ruffalo did something increasingly rare among celebrities. He reconsidered his words. He apologized for suggesting Israel was committing genocide. More importantly, he explained why. He wrote that the allegation was not accurate and inflammatory, and acknowledged that it was being used to justify anti-Semitism, here and abroad. That was an important moment of moral clarity. So what happened? How does a man go from recognizing that accusing Israel of genocide is inaccurate, inflammatory and capable of fueling anti-Semitism to deploying essentially the same accusation again? Ruffalo insists that criticizing Israel, a military technology contract or corporate executives, is not the same thing as criticizing Jews. On that narrow proposition, he is correct. Israel is not above criticism. Neither are Larry Ellison, David Ellison, or Oracle. Jews do not possess some magical exemption from criticism because they are Jews. But that is not the real question. The question is why Israel keeps becoming the organizing obsession of political and cultural controversies that ostensibly concern something else. If Ruffalo believes the Paramount Warner merger creates unacceptable media concentration, make the antitrust case. There are serious arguments to be made. 12 states are challenging the transaction, and critics have raised concerns about competition, employment, and media consolidation. I personally disagree with them and hope the merger goes through. But that's beside the point. Why, then, must a Hollywood merger become another opportunity to accuse the world's only Jewish state of genocide? Why must Israel be inserted? Criticism of Israel is not inherently anti-Semitic. But neither does calling something criticism of Israel magically immunize it from anti-Semitism. There is an even greater obscenity in casually throwing around the word genocide. The Jewish people know something about genocide. Genocide is not a synonym for a terrible war. It is not a rhetorical superlative to be attached to whichever government one despises. It is the intentional destruction of a people as a people. Israel went to war after Hamas's October 7 massacre, in which terrorists murdered, raped and kidnapped Israelis and others and dragged hostages into Gaza. One can fiercely debate Israel's conduct of that war, individual military operations, civilian casualties and the policies of Netanyahu's government. Democracies must tolerate such scrutiny. But transforming a war launched after the worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust into an accusation that the Jewish state itself is genocidal demands extraordinary care, especially amid a worldwide explosion of anti-Semitism. Ruffalo once understood precisely this point. In 2021, he didn't merely retract a word. He explicitly connected reckless rhetoric about Israel to anti-Semitism. That is why his present indignation rings hollow. Paramount has every right to challenge him and accuse him of anti-Semitism. So do Jewish organizations. The Simon Wiesenthal Center has now accused Ruffalo of obsession and demonization, while Creative Community for Peace specifically highlighted the contradiction between his current rhetoric and his 2021 apology. Ruffalo should not be canceled. I oppose cancel culture whether it comes from the left or right. He should make movies, express political opinions and campaign against corporate mergers, even as I personally find him to be a tiresome bore on camera. But he should also be challenged. Hollywood celebrities possess enormous platforms. With that influence comes responsibility. When words concerning Jews and Israel have consequences, one cannot simply declare every objection to one's rhetoric a cynical attempt to silence criticism. You cannot acknowledge that a false genocide accusation fuels anti-Semitism on Monday and then expect immunity when you resurrect it on Friday. Ruffalo should reread his own 2021 statement. It was measured. It was, after years of his anti-Semitic rhetoric, actually courageous. And it recognized something our increasingly hysterical political culture desperately needs to recover. Words matter. The tragedy is that Mark Ruffalo already learned that lesson once. The question is why he has chosen to forget it. Rabbi Shmuley Boteach is the international best-selling author of 38 books, translated into more than 20 languages. He has been hailed as the most famous rabbi in America, The Washington Post, Newsweek, arguably the most famous Orthodox Jew on earth, The New York Observer, and named one of the 50 most influential Jews in the world, The Jerusalem Post. Follow him on Instagram and X at Rabbi Shmuley.